Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Yellow. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? 1 2 1 2. 1 2 1 2. Can you hear me?
This is 1 2 1 2 1 2.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
coach. Okay. Welcome, Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You are rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I am your host with the most, Coach Lee, and I am bringing it to you like I always do this, because I always knew this. Anyway, it is a Monday, and I am back. I am back on the scene, making it happen. All those good things. So in the meantime, we're going to talk about what's going on today. In our show for today, we got quarter number one. We're going to talk about the growth of women's football. Is it really growing, or are we just stretching each other to from one side to the other side? Quarter number two, we'll kind of lead into that. Teams jumping from league to league or even going independent. Let's talk about that. Let's, get a feel, get a vibe, what's going on. Quarter number three, off-season workouts. It's very important right now at this stage in women's football, what are you doing right now? So we're going to talk about that in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, we're always going to drop the knowledge of camp and conference updates as well as a hot topic on the meme board. So make sure you are here. Make sure you are live doing your thing, because we are doing it. Everybody's doing it. So we're going to make it happen. Okay? So in the meantime, Hey, I got my computer up and rolling here. Let's jump into our commercials before we kick this thing off. So here we go.
Are you ready? I'm ready.
John, your car's here.
Go get him, Tiger. When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Oh, yeah, pick Enterprise. Why? Because it'll pick you up. And for our second sponsor here, you know who it is. Yeah. We ended with that. I love my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. Everybody loves Adidas. So let's go ahead and kick this bad boy off with the special teams player of the year, the kicker, because we got to kick it deep, and the whistle is blown, and here they go. gets another deep kick out of the end zone, because that's what we talk about here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. We get deep. We talk about winning football. We don't hold back. You know, like I said, you can always call in. If you want to chit-chat, five-minute drive, if you want to jump in first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, whenever you feel like you know, got something to say, just jump on in. 347-826-7278. You got the number, 347-826-7278. Anyway, we're going to move on to the first quarter. The growth of women's football. You know, my Ebonics is probably messing up growth, but, you know, is women's football really growing? And if it is, where? And if where, why is it? And if why is it, are we supporting it? You know, each and every week on my show, I'm always talking about some subjects that, you know, like I said, I get emails and phone calls. People want me to talk about certain things, and I'm pretty open about talking about it. And again, it's my humble opinion of how things are going. I'm not the guru of all gurus to know everything about women's football, but you know what? I've been around the block. I've done it, did this, and like I said, my job here is to help make this a great venture to expand and be a part of the process of putting women's football on the map. Do I got to be a forerunner and be out front? No. I'm a good leader following, you know. I can be a good leader and following the masses. I don't have to be out in the front and my name got to be out there. But you know what? Hey, I got the format, I got the platform, and this is where we're rolling. You know, the growth of women's football, is it growing? To me, yes. There's many opportunities for women out there to play this exciting game of tackle football across America, hell, across the United States, across the world. In other states, there's a, you know, international tournament coming up this summer, which is going to be great. It's going to put women's football on the world map, which is great. You have approximately 100 teams here in the United States. You're going to have probably, I'm going to say, I think it's 12 countries that's going to be participating in the football tournament. Plus, you have another, probably about another 50 teams worldwide that play women's title football, Germany, Japan, China, Finland, and other places. So, yes, the sport is growing in numbers, but it's not growing in popularity, as I put it. Meaning, you know, we're still not getting that exposure. We're still not getting that newspaper article. We're still not getting that score box in our weekly Sunday paper, you know, after Saturdays. Why? Because, again, we're not on top of things as organizations. We don't befriend the sports director at the newspapers or at the radio, I mean, TV station or even the radio stations. And we don't submit our paperwork to them, let them know, hey, we just won the game or we lost, you know. We only submit when we win. But when we lose, we don't turn nothing in. You know, we're not doing a good job of our stats and stuff like that. So, again, in order for it to grow, we got to be on top of it in all facets, in all all facets of the game of football. Our counterparts, which is the men's game, hey, they got the roadmap. We just got to follow it and trust and believe in it. You know, that's the bottom line. But you got to get people that's willing to work with you and make it happen. As far as the growth, you know, there's teams that are popping up left and right. There's teams that are, hey, we just want to play. Small markets, medium markets, big markets. I know there's a few arguments about teams shouldn't be in small markets. It doesn't make any sense to be in a small to medium market, that they only should be in the large market, which is not true. You know, this is a grassroots program. And there's thousands of men's and young boys' football teams out there, not just 100, just thousands of teams. So they're out there in the landscape. And if you include, again, part one of football, again, you're in the thousands of football teams that are out there. There are not thousands of women's football teams out there. So we have plenty of room to grow. I don't care if we in Flatbush or Backbush or Topbush, America, you know, if there's women that want to play, then there should be a team. And they should be able to compete against anybody. You know, the question out there has always been, you know, numbers. You know, your team got 60 women on the team. My team has 25. Well, it doesn't matter. Only 11 play at a time, you know. So, again, it's not the level of competition. They might have 20 players better than yours, but their 11 is just as – your 11 is just as good as their 11. So, it you know, I'm not so keen and tired that only the major markets should have teams. I don't think so. I don't think the sport will grow if that's the case, because there's a lot of women that don't live in major markets. You know, everybody's talking about TV markets and stuff like that. Well, it's going to be teams in those TV markets. But if the product is no good and the organization is no good, it don't matter if you're in a TV market, you know. The bottom line is good football is good football. And you go down south, you know, everybody's talking about the SEC. Those ain't major TV markets, but that's supposedly be the strongest college division. I don't think not one SEC team is in a major market. Think about it. Florida is not a major market, TV market. Louisiana is not a major TV market. Tennessee is not a major TV market. Alabama is not a TV market. So, again, that proves the point that you don't have to be in a major market to get recognized, get football, and have TV come to you. So that just blows that whole theory about having teams only in the major, you know, the top 20 major television markets. Yeah, again, kapooey, you know. So, again, in the growth, it's going to have to take city by city, state by state, you know, country by country. I know there's teams in Canada that play American football. They play 10-man and they play 12-man, believe it or not. I know down in Mexico they're working on teams out there. Again, and these are close countries to the United States. So, again, work from within. Stop worried about going way out and being all over the place. Work within where you're at. I know as an owner of a team here in Las Vegas and on the West Coast, it's very difficult because cities are spread out a lot further than they are. The next major city to me, to Las Vegas, will be the Los Angeles market. That's 320 miles at the rear end of the Inland Empire. And you still got to go in about another 50 miles just to be in the L.A. market. That's south of me, or southwest of me. The next nearest city east of me would be Phoenix, Arizona, which is a 4 to 5 hour hike. The next city north of me, major city, would be Utah, which is still 5.5 hours away. And the next major city in my state is Reno. And Reno is a 7 hour drive, and that's in a car. So, again, in order for this thing to grow, we have to find cities in between those, quote, major cities to get these teams rocking and rolling. You know, so it is growing. You know, you do see numbers of teams popping up, but you also see teams dropping. So, actually, we're like spinning in the mud right now. You know, one day we got 101 teams, the next day we got 98 teams, and the next day we get three more teams that joined, and we got two more teams that dropped. You know, financially and management-wise, player-wise, another two players starts up a team. So, in a sense, we're growing, but in a sense, we're not growing. We're staying still. There has not been a plan to implement from, I would say, the leagues, because the leagues are the ones who are running things, has not had anything handed down to make sure that those teams stay in existence in order for them to be here 5 years. You know, women's football in its new creation since 1999, again, it's been around since 1999, for 10 years, you know. But how many of those teams started 9 years ago are still around? How many teams have been around for 8 years? How many have been around for 7, 6? I know this is our 5th year. So, yes, majority of the teams out there have been around at least 5 years or more. If you are a true business person, you know stability of a business is measured by being in business for the first 5 years. If you can manage and hang on for the first 5 years, then you should be able to manage and maintain continuously after that. It's the first 5 years that's the hardest. But how far have you grown? Has your fan base grown since you started? Are you even in contact with your fan base on a monthly basis? You know, do you have the same sponsors you had since day one? Have you added more sponsors, or are you losing sponsors? Don't use the economy as an excuse. Don't use the economy as an excuse, because there's ways that you can still hang on to your sponsors. If you're doing a good job for your sponsors, they will never leave you. If you only charge them $100 to put a business card ad in your magazine or your media guide or your weekly witch column book, and they're, you know, doing, you know, 15 to 20 customers based off of that ad, then you've done your job. If they're not getting the customers to even pay for the ad, then of course you're losing them. So you're going to lose in your growth, okay? Same thing with your fan base. If you don't have a continuous fan base that are buying your season tickets, then you're not growing. That's your individual teams. But as women's football teams across the nation, again, I'll have to say we're 50-50 on the growth situation. I think we've hit a point, because I think we've gotten lazy. Owners gotten lazy. Leagues have gotten lazy and have not aggressively recruited. You know, which is going to probably bring me to the next topic, you know. So I'm going to side note that real quick as I parlay into my next topic with teams jumping, you know. So, again, on the overall, yes, I do think that we've grown as women's football just in small degrees. I think we have so much room to move forward. But I just think we have to open our minds up and realize that there's things out there that we all need to do, be it together, be it as a league, be it as, you know, as a region or whatever. You have to. If you don't get on the same page, then the growth will not happen. Okay? So what I'm going to do is, you know, like I said, time flies when you're rocking four quarters of Coach Lee. You know, we just got out of quarter number one. We're talking about the growth of women's football, where it's at, where it's going. Yes, it's recognized around the world as a sport, but is it truly recognized by those true football fans that women actually play football? I don't know. That's going to have to be another topic, another subject, another quarter that we rock and roll with as we evolve over this offseason and able to talk about some topics, you know. Again, I would definitely like to hear from, you know, your point of view. It don't have to always be my point of view. I just share, because there's nothing wrong with sharing here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. So let's go ahead and jump back into our commercial break, and we jump back into quarter number two, and we have a good segue of why teams are jumping. Yeah, my Adidas, your Adidas. Are you sporting Adidas? Because Adidas is supporting you, so you should be buying Adidas, yo. I'm just trying to tell y'all. Y'all went out to get these sponsors, you got to buy the product. Bottom line is, hey, they need to make money. And if you can't provide, you know, the money maker, then they ain't going to rock and roll with you anymore. So that's how it is, and I tell you that every week. You know, because I rock Adidas all the time.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. John, your car's here.
Go get him, Tiger. When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will take care of everything, making you want to get on to success. I'm Enterprise. You can walk
up. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm always supporting Enterprise when I go to you.
Call 7 first.
Yo, I got somebody on the line.
What up, big dog?
Oh, man, you just jumping in like it's, I'm in the commercial break, and I'm here and talking. What's happening? Is this Bartley again?
You know it is, the one and only.
Man, you always jumping in my show. What you got to bring to the table, baby? Because that's the only way you get into the door. You knocking, and what you got selling, baby? What are you selling?
Oh, man, I was calling to listen in. I wanted to find out what the hot topics of discussion were.
Oh, man, let me jump down to you. We just got off the growth of women's football. Quarter number two is, you know, teams jumping. I was just about to get up in there, and I heard you coughing on the line. And then quarter number three, I got off-season workouts, and always, like I always do, quarter number four, it's about camping conference updates, the meme board hot topics, baby. That's where we at.
Wow. Interesting topics. Very interesting.
Definitely that. So you got anything to add, or you just want to listen in?
Oh, man. Well, you know me. I always got something to say, so.
Hot dogs. Go ahead. I'll be hot dogs at that.
Okay.
Got to drop in those sponsors, baby. Hoppy hot dogs.
So how you want to start this out, you know?
Well, you know, is it going to be on the topic of team jumping?
Wow. You know,
can you add to that if we talk about it?
Oh, you know I can add to it. Oh,
all right, well, you know what, let me do this. Let me get it rolling, rock and rolling, because I hit a point in the last topic that kind of was a good segue here. And my whole thing was, you know, leagues and owners are lazy. It's why teams are jumping. Because if I'm the only team in my market, that's all I'm worried about. I don't care. But I don't realize that, you know, Anthony Bartley is a partner of mine, no matter if we're rivals on the field. You know, same thing with leagues. Leagues say, hey, we built it. The league is here. They will come. And that's not true. You got to go out there and recruit. You got to go out there and talk a good game for your league, not go bashing somebody else's league. Because all that do is make you look like a fool in front of the eyes of those who got to make those decisions. So that's been, you know, where I was going to go with this thing, you know what I'm saying? So, again, I think it's the laziness and the willing of the owners not to go out there and help recruit a team within their region or within their proximity, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not so much as not only that. You got to understand that, you know, and you being an owner, you know, me being an owner as well, you know, there's a lot of politics involved. There's, you know, there's just a lot of behind the scenes stuff that a lot of people are, I guess, they're too afraid to talk about it or bring it to the table.
Okay.
You know,
right.
And that's a lot of the reasons why you got teams that bounce from league to league. You know, again, it's. The one thing that, you know, when you got these guys who are starting up these leagues, you know, the one thing that they have to realize is that the owners have the ultimate power. Without the owners, there are no leagues. Just like the owners have to understand that, you know, the players have the power, because if there's no players, there's no team.
Definitely. I preach that all the time.
When you're starting the league, you know, you just can't talk about it. You got to be about it. And
right,
you got to
walk that walk and talk that talk.
And you got to be forthcoming in every move that you make, especially if you are a startup league. And I'm hoping that there are people who are actually listening to this, because what a lot of people what they don't see is the fact that when you treat your owners foul, you know, word gets around, and that's another reason why teams jump ship. They don't want to.
Oh, yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, like I said, I've had experience in three different leagues. And my whole thing is, hey, I'm coming to the table. I'm taking care of whatever necessities. I want to run my team. And, you know, if this is a market, then, you know, hey, let me market my team the way that I know how to do it. Don't get jealous because I'm, you know, shining pretty bright, you know, because I might have some connections, you know, but I'm, you know, I pass these things on to any and everybody, you know. So my whole thing is it goes back to, yes, the operation of the league. You know, everybody got to be respected for one, and everybody has to be able to be heard, especially if you're putting up ducats. If you're putting up money, like everybody else should be, then everybody that's putting up money should have some respect at the table of what's going on.
Exactly.
You know? But again, there's some teams that start up that aren't in the position to be real teams, you know, and I've talked about this before, you know, where the players are paying, you know, anywhere between $1,000 and $1,500. And then I question, well, what the hell is the owner doing to help move the team forward? You know, that's a team-ran team. That's not an owner-ran team in that situation. Because they're relying on 30 to 40 girls to come up with their $30,000 to $40,000 budget. You know? So my whole thing is again, going to the point where, you know, why are the teams jumping? You know, in reality, it's, you know, who do I play? You know, am I, you know, is it cost effective to play in this league because the teams are closer? But I know in this league, you know, if I do travel, competition is going to be better. You know, how much money do I really have to play with? You know, it's a key factor.
Then you
know?
Also got to look at it like this. You also got to look at stability. You know, and I'm sorry, but I'm a strong advocate for, you know, the league, you know, whoever that may be, helping out the teams that need to help in order to help, you know, better this product. I mean, let's face it, you do have a lot of smaller teams and small markets that could use the help of, let's say, a top league official, you know, to help them along the way. Instead of just sitting back, you know, lying in the cut, collecting their money and saying, well, you know what, you signed up for it, you're on your own. You know,
right. And that's not even small market teams. There's major market teams that don't even have 25 players on the team.
Exactly. So, that you know, that's, you know, if you take a good look at the NFL markets every team that they have.
Right.
Why? Because it's all about stability. It's not about the fact that the owners, you know, are sitting with, you know, $25 billion in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's about they are marketing their teams, you know.
Right.
Each
and that's where their league fees, when they bought that team, when the Houston Texans was sold for, what, $700 million?
Mm-hmm.
That $700 million went into the pot with the NFL to help promote the league.
Exactly.
You don't see the executives of the pocketing money. You know, you don't. They're on salary, yes, but it's open. You can go into the internet and find out how much the commissioner is making per year, and he's making a hell of a lot less than players.
Exactly.
You know, just like the president of the United States, he runs the United States, or she runs, he runs, whatever that president may be, but it's open out there to say, hey, they only make $250,000 a year.
Exactly.
You know, to be in that stressful position. So as owners of teams, you know, my question is, okay, I'm going to put up, you know, this $10,000 or this $500. I just want to know where is it going.
Yeah.
And when you don't get answers, then you get discouraged, and then you want to say, you know what, I got to find a better place for me and my team, you know. And again, and that's talking personal experience. You know, I'm not just blowing smoke. I just tell like it is, like you do.
Exactly.
You know,
and then you got, and I'm going to throw it out there. You know, you can't have backstabbers running these leagues. You just can't. Because,
well,
let's face it.
You can't, but you got to realize that, you know, it's what the intent is, and everybody has to respect each other, and that's what
exactly.
That's not what's,
you know,
out there.
See, and this is the way I look at it. You know, we're all out here for one purpose. That's to legitimize, to better this level of football for these women. You know, instead of everyone trying to play this cutthroat, you know, or, you know, who's got the biggest cojones,
right?
Or, you know, run a power trip. It should be about, one, making sure that, you know, these women do get the respect that they so deserve, because they're the ones that are out here busting their butts out on that field.
Right, but you know what? I think the women on the field get the respect. I think what's lost is, and again, from my experience, is what ownership is bringing to the table. You know, if an owner is supporting their team financially, I mean, every team has a league fee for their players or whatever, okay? But if an owner is actually putting in the ducats to support their team, and then they're being left out of the decision-making processes, then that's an issue. That's where an owner like myself would say, you know what, it's fun and dandy being here, but I got to move on. You know,
yeah.
The players, I think the players get the respect, and I don't think it's the players' decision of why teams have jumped leagues. It's been pretty much ownership and league management, or it's greener on the other side of the fence.
And it all comes down to, you know, respect for one another. You know, this is why every time we turn around, we're sitting here looking at, you know, we first got two leagues here. Now there's league number three, and, you know, one league.
League number four.
Then you got league number four. See, it's all about respect, and it seems that, you know, nobody wants to give the next man respect. And that's why, you know, and it goes back to, I believe, the first segment of your show, is the reason why women's football is stagnant and has not progressed. I mean, let's face it. You know, when you got all these leagues trying to get started, when you got, you know, teams jumping from one league to the next, you know, you're showing the people with the deep pockets that you have no stability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
well, no, I think it goes back to someone else, and I'll be politically correct. I'm not going to say he or she, you know, because it could be either ors out there. So we want to be politically correct when we're dealing with women's football, and, you know, not the next man's respect, but everybody's respect. You know, the fact is, you know, everyone feels they can always do it better, and that comes from leagues running leagues, from teams running teams, from players leading teams. Everybody always feel, and that might be the American way of competition. You know, it might be instilled in, I can always do it better than that person. Instead of saying, hey, you know what, let's improve it.
It has good points, and it's got its bad points, you know.
Right.
And this is where if people were serious about trying to improve this level of football, instead of trying to outdo the next man, why not you and the man sit down?
All right, man, you better be clearly correct, man. You're going to have a bunch of women beating us down on this show.
I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to put it out there again.
No, you got to be politically correct.
Man, why not sit down and say, hey, what can we do to make this here better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is something that's been preached, you know, it's like beating a dead horse. You know.
Oh yeah, it's a ten year dead horse.
Disgruntled players want to start up their own team. You know, well, why don't you sit down with ownership and say, hey, what can we do to make this better for everybody? You know.
Because again, the American dream is I can do it better than you can.
And see, and the American, but see, the American dream was all has always been, you know, I want to succeed. I want to be on top. You know, the American dream is all about trying to establish some sort of success. But, America was built on, you know, well, I'm just going to come in, I'm going to take what's yours and make it mine.
Now we're going on some historical stuff, huh?
It hasn't changed.
Yeah, that's the mentality.
Why am I going to, you know, help you out when I can just take what you got?
Right.
Damn, I feel like I'm in church right now.
see, that's what happens when you rock in four quarter coach Lee, man. It get hot and heated if we choose to.
Okay.
You know, we trying to debate, you know, I'm in agreement with things that you're saying and some things I'm not. But I understand what we're trying to do. You know, and like I said, some of the teams jump, you know, be it financially, be it that, you know, another league is offering something more pleasing or better, or people are just disgruntled and just don't want to deal with headaches anymore. They've been in these league meetings and team meetings and whatever and just hear the same old. There's no fresh new ideas. And if there is, it got to come from certain people, and these people don't get respected. I know. I've been there. Been to those meetings.
So if you can imagine, if people just put their pride aside and work together – I guarantee you, the people that count that's going to make a difference are going to be the ones to really take over, and you know, take us to where we need to be.
Right, definitely that. You know, it's in leadership skills. I mean, and that's why you have a country that votes in. And I'll say most of the votes are popularity votes. It's not based on the experience and knowledge and knowing how to do. And that's where people get kind of, how would I put it? They get kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? They get to the point where they're not comfortable with somebody else leading this ship or taking us in, on this journey, even though they're not capable of doing it. And you got to be willing to step to the side and say, hey, I'll help in the progression of and do my part. You know what? Like
well,
you said,
I
got to take the pride and say that, you know what, I can't do. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. If somebody asks me something and I can't do it, I have to be open and honest and say, you know what, I can't do it. But you know what? My man Bartley can do it. You know, let Bartley do it because I know he has experience to do that. But instead, we take that on and fail and not move forward. And like I said, experience has told me this. Experience is why I'm even talking about this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a point where we all have to understand that we all have gifts. We all have the know-how to do something, you know. BJ has the knowledge of putting this radio show together. I don't. I just grab the phone, call in, and just start talking. You know,
okay.
I don't know how simple the board is, you know, but it's her concept. It's her idea to give the platform for those to speak. And, you know, she's a good host, and she doesn't feel that she's a great host, but I do. You do, you know.
Yeah,
but
far.
She just doesn't like to talk as much as both me and you. We can talk for 4 or 5 hours at a time, the show allowed us to, you know,
okay.
and won't skip a beat.
Okay.
But allow those who are empowered to do things that they're jacks of that trade. That's where you find a marketing person that's what they do. Allow them to market to lead. Don't try to strangle them and say, well, no. It got to be this way or no way.
Well, you know what? You've been in the music business for how many years?
Ooh, I'll be 40 next year. I would say more than half my life I've been in the music industry since I was 12.
What's the best thing a musical artist can do, especially in this day and era
any controversial situation comes up with a recording artist is great news for a record label, be it good or bad, you know. I understand that because, again, a record label is all about pimping. And that's what they do. That's what we're involved in. We pimp our artists to get as much exposure as we can. What I'm trying to say is enough. Huh?
No, what I was going to say is, the best thing that artists can do in this day and age is collaborate.
Oh, yeah, definitely that, because they don't have the staying power by themselves to fill up an arena like they used to back in the 70s. You don't see, you know, a Mick Jagger tour, you know, any artist of that capability outside of Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
somebody who can fill up a football arena, not a basketball, you know, 15,000. I'm talking about 60,000 and 80,000 arenas, you know,
exactly.
people. But when they collaborate and they have summer jams and you got 6 or 7 artists, now you can sell that out because now you're getting the fan base from that artist, this artist, and every other artist to come to that one spot to hear their favorite artist, you know, over a 6-hour period.
Uh-huh.
And I love the way that you segued into that because, again, how many of us are actually playing games? How many are doing preseason games? Who are allowed to do preseason games that allow my fan base to come over and experience your fan base? You know, to root and cheer for my
exactly.
team over your team.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
See, and hey, it's that pride thing.
Well, yeah, and the pride thing is leading us over the topic, and I love it. But you know what, Coach? I got to let you go so we can rock and roll. Because, you know, me and you can talk all day about any topic, and, you know, and I love it, you know, that you got the cojones to jump on here. Like I said, I invite anybody on here on the show where it's just me openly talking about 4 topics, you know. So I have no problem with that. But the bottom line is teams are going to jump because they're not happy. If something in the mix, something in the water that caused them to not be happy, be it that they were lied to about what they're going to get when they came over to the particular league, be it how they're being treated in the particular league, or, you know, or travel is just not close enough. It's not feasible for me to operate my team if I got to travel on 3 flights a year. You know, I want to know where my money goes as an owner. And if you can't tell me, hey, that's going to put up a barrier. It's called a trust barrier. You trust me as well as I trust you. I told you I got a team and I got 40 women out there, and you just go on the blind saying, well, that's what Deion said or that's what Coach Lee said. And then I show up 2 weeks before the season starts, hey, I only got 10 girls.
Yeah.
I didn't lost respect and lost the trust, you know?
That's right.
So that's where we at. So, Coach, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to jump into my commercial. Again, thanks for calling in. Like I said, it's unexpected, but you know what? You did it. Hey, we make it happen. So at this point in time, I'm going to jump into my commercial. We're going to squeeze back into the topic of discussion, which is the third quarter. You know, we had an extra timeout or two there, you know, running 2-minute drills. Somebody got hurt. You know, the analysts had to come out there. So we had a delay in the game in that particular quarter. But we're going to break out to halftime. So, all right, we're going to halftime. So here we go.
Are you ready? I'm ready.
John, your car's here.
Go get him, Tiger. When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Oh, yeah, you got to pick Enterprise. Why? Because they pick you up. No matter what airport you're at, there's always an Enterprise there to pick you up. Oh, yeah, my Adidas, yo. Those are my Adidas, yo. Adidas. We all need to be sporting some Adidas. Why? Because they support women's sports, yo. I keep trying to tell y'all, you got to get up on it. And for those who want to call in, you can always dial in 347-826-7278. Like I said, you can jump in anytime. You know, hey, you put your hand up, push the one button on the phone, and BJ will hook you in, and you just got to go. And I'm like, whoa, 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 is that a caller? And then we'll talk about it. You know, you ain't got to agree with Coach Lee. You know, we can not necessarily debate, but we can talk about topics and subjects that might be sticky, icky. You know, it don't matter with me because you're rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee, yo. So let's get out of this halftime. Let's rock and roll to the third quarter. It might be a short quarter because, you know, it might be a ball control offense, you know, 80 yards, 20 plays, you know what I'm saying? Never go out of bounds and never throw the ball. It can go by fast. But anyway, off-season workouts, it kind of blends in with all the things I talked about, the growth of women's football and teams jumping, you know. Players jump all the time. Why? Because the teams aren't serious. If you're not working out right now for football, then you're not a football player. I'm sorry. You just can't be a football player in the spring. You got to come ready to rock and roll. Let's talk about that. Let's look back. Let's rewind a little bit. Let's talk about football in the 70s. All right? Like I said, I'm a product of an ex-professional football player. And I know during the off season back in the day, my dad used to be off work, which was out of football. And what he would be doing is working a regular J-O-B. They didn't have mini camps. They didn't have OTAs. Training camp in July was when they started. And that's when they started getting in shape. They started lifting weights then. Everything in the offseason was off. Football was off limits, off anything. Nobody was in the football during the offseason. But that has changed. Football is 24/7, 365 days a year. Ladies, if you want to be a true football player, if you want to be respected for the craft that you're doing instead of being an injustice to football, then you need to be working out now. running, catching, lifting, doing your thing. Teams, you want to be respected as a football team? Then you should be doing mini workouts, mini camps, football 101s, whatever you can instead of just one tryout in February. That's why you only got 15 to 20 players on the team, because you're trying out in February. That doesn't make any sense. Again, I take this game very heavily because I grew up playing this game. I grew up coaching this game, and now I'm owning teams in this game. So, again, I always underline this sentence here. If you don't take yourself serious, then how can anybody else outside of women's football take us serious? That goes from the players, the teams, and the league. And like I said, I throw it out there all the time because I challenge each and every one of you. What are you doing in order to help women's football grow? Each team right now, be it new or old, should be doing some kind of mini workouts or mini camps or whatever, whatever, whatever. If your team ain't working out and football's been over since, what, June for, what, 80% of us? Because only, like, not even, I'll say 95% of us that play football season was ended in June because we didn't make the playoffs. So you're talking about, let's go, July, August, September, 3 months, and you have not had any type of event dealing with exercising, getting stronger, meetings, or plans for next year, 2010, then you're behind. If you're behind, then it's going to show on the football field. This is not a hobby, and I'll repeat that. Women's football is not a hobby. You want to be called professional, then you need to show how professional you are by having a program during the off season to make your product better. Yes, Coach Lee is a little angry. I'm a little upset because it doesn't make any sense for a team to be around 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years and don't have an off-season program. It makes no sense. It just don't. Look at all the programs across the country, from college to pros to high school to even Little League. Little League is now during the spring and the fall. I know at least here in Vegas, it kind of threw me off a little bit. But what I'm saying is they're taking their sport serious. During the off season, they're doing things to improve, be it getting individual coaches to come and coach them, be it that their coaches are coaching them, be it that the teams are having off season workouts and the players are doing their own thing, or be it that they go to football camps. Yeah, that was a plug again. Yeah, I'm always plugging. You know why? Because I want to get better. I want us to get better. The opportunities are there, but are you going to take them? Do your team have off-season non-mandatory workouts on Saturdays for rookies? And are you, as a veteran, are you even going to the practices to even look, to even support the team? That's the question. You should be out there leading them rookies because you want to win a championship. You got to show them what it's all about. You got to show them what your football team is all about. Coaches got to be there. It can't be just one coach at the workouts. That's sad. If you got 6, 7 coaches and only one coach is showing up, let alone not even being the head coach not being there, there's a problem. If you're the owner of the team and you're not there every practice, you got to show commitment. You have to show commitment, yo. You can't just be sitting on your rear ends. And then it turns around to the league. Hey, are you making it around to those teams? Are you calling and keeping in touch? You know, that's part of the reason why teams jump as well. You know, you got my money. We talked before the season. Then once the season's over, I don't hear nothing back from the league. It's called relationships. You got to build them. You got to keep them. Team owners got to contact the players. You know, again, I know I send out more emails than spam because I want my players to understand that this is real. That this is where we're going with this thing. In order for us to win championship, we got to be together. you know. And I think this was on part of the Sunday show, too, of two players who were on one team for X amount of years. I want to say 8 years, and now they're playing on a new team in the area because it was lost. That feeling, that energy was lost. A good leader got to continuously create that energy to be there, that want to be there, that need to be there. That's what a great leader does, be it he or she, be it the head coach or captain, be it the owner or the manager, general manager. It has to be there. So off-season workouts, if you're not doing them, you're behind. You should be implementing a whole bunch of things, even if it's basic football. I talk from experience. I know that the rookies that come out to the football 101 for me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 come back sore but with a lot of energy. And they use what I taught them that day and go home and watch it on TV for the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. So, for instance, if I'm teaching the running backs how to be running backs and read the butts of the alignment to know where to cut and how to hold the ball, and then be able to go home and see it being done by the so-called best, be it NFL or college or higher levels of football players than me, it's a learning tool. But if I am not providing a form for them to learn and then just expect them to come out on two tryout dates and think that they know football, it's bad on me. Shame on me, as I put it. You know what I say on here. Shame, shame, shame on me. So again, off-season workouts, take it serious. Off-season workouts, you need to be doing it. Off-season improvement, you need to find out how you can improve as a football player. You need to find out how you improve as a football coach. You need to find out information to be a better owner, better manager, better promoter, a better stat person, a better announcer, a better flyer taker, a better hot dog cooker. You know, you got to. And that leads me right into the quarter number four without even putting in the commercials. Because that's what the camp and conference is all about, yo. That's what it's all about, is learning. It's obvious that we don't know because we keep making the same mistakes. We don't listen to people, which led us to topic number two that we were talking with Coach Bartley about, the respect thing. Like I said, I don't claim to know everything about everything. I'm an old dog, and I can continuously learn new tricks each and every day. You know, as the saying goes, can't teach the old dog new tricks. That's bullcrap. I'm learning every day. I've been around football for 39 years, and each and every day I learn something different, be it a technique, be it a style, be it how uniforms are made, be it how to be a ref. You know, or a different view of football or a different perspective. You have to have an open mind and to learn. So, again, those things are brought up in the camping conference. You know, there's people that I'm going to be having on this show from here into the camp, be it coaches, be it marketing people, be it guest speakers, and even players calling in from previous camps to talk about the experience. Because if you don't hear it, you don't believe it. If you don't see it, you don't believe it. See, because we grew up in the era of the idiot box, the TV. We have no imagination because everything has been presented to us in live, living color. Just go back two generations ago when it was just radio, and that was the fascination of the world, that you can hear somebody broadcast just like I'm doing right now, and you can imagine what their face looked like. You can imagine what they looked like based on their voice. Imagine the things they were talking about because they were describing that sporting event. That's why you have Chick Hearns as being one of the greatest commentators in the world of basketball, and Joe Buck and all these other people. You know, Joe Buck's is over on TV, but if you listen on the radio, it's good too. But they paint a picture for you to visualize and see in your own image of what you think you're hearing and what you're possibly seeing. See, we grew up in an era where we can't use our imagination. We don't even read books to our kids anymore to give them imagination. It's here, put in this video. Snow White and the Seven Doors, here's the video, instead of reading it. Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory, instead of reading it, we're saying, here's the video of it. Same thing with women's football. Same thing with promoting events. If you don't see it, you don't think it happens. If you ain't touching it, you don't think it's going to happen. If it's not in your face, you don't see it. And obviously, a lot of you don't see the benefits of coming to the camp and conference as a coach to get better. Because, you know, you might be one of them Sega coaches or the Wii coaches or one of them video game coaches. You see a play on the video game and think you can run it on the football field. Ain't true. Yeah, I'm calling you out, coaches, because you should be benefiting from this. Owners, I'm definitely calling you out because you ain't making no money. You don't have no sponsors. You don't have a TV contract. There's ways to get it, but you got to seek the information. So, you know, hey, I'm tired of banging that dead horse, but hey, you're going to hear from me. Because, again, the vision of the camp and conference is the vision for women's football. It's going to take you in the direction because there's people that are going to be involved in it. And like I said, I got some announcements coming up this Thursday. You're going to be like, whoa, I feel it. I got to be there. Because, again, I use my contacts in other sports, especially the women's sports. And when you have a marketing director of a WNBA championship team coming to speak on how they are having issues and troubles of promoting a sport that has millions of dollars behind it, and we can learn from that, you should be there. When you have somebody that's going to take you step one to step 10 on how to put together the best possible sponsorship packet, recession-proof packet, you should be there. When you have a major coach from a major college that's going to be there speaking on behalf of how to put together a coaching staff and how to coach football, you should be there. And when you have an opportunity to improve your craft as a football player and hear it from other coaches besides the coaches that you coach under or play under, then you should be there. So, again, you know, this is Coach Lee. Hey, I'm just talking four quarters. That's all I do here on Blog Talk Radio. I forgot to plug that. You know, continues. Football Talk continues. I don't even know because I don't have the slogan in my face right now. Because, again, you know, I get heated and hot sometimes. I get emotional because I love the sport. I love what I'm doing, and I love the people that I meet and associate with. You know, is that my music? I'm hearing already. Hot diggity, 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 hot dogs. Coffee hot dogs, that is. Time is up. All I'm trying to do is teach. All I'm trying to do is let you know where you should be, where you should be at. The level of the game should be at a higher level, y'all. The level of the league should be at a higher level, y'all. The team ownership should be at a higher level. The players, you should be playing at a hell of a lot higher level than what is being seen on film. That's a whole nother topic, getting the video up so that people can see. As you can see, a lot of teams are embarrassed about their team. It must be because you ain't putting the videos up there showing people that women play football. What's happening? Come on, y'all. Y'all getting coachly all emotional. I didn't want to end it on an emotional spiel like this, but you know what? Sometimes I got to, because I'm hoping you hear it, because I'm coming from the heart, just like in the song, Public Enemy. You know, never question what I am, because it's coming from the heart. There it is. See? So anyway, I'm going to let you guys go. I am out of here. This is Coach Lee. I'm loving it. I'm feeling it. And I hope to hear you next week. Hey, bring another listener in. Make that phone call. Hey, jump on here. You got something good to say? Then let's hear it, because that's what this forum is all about. It's open. It's open to the public. Drop a dime or two dimes or your cell phone or whatever. Put it in. Make the phone call. This is Four Quarters of Coach Lee, and I'm out.